Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we have with us on the line Mr. Richard Gibreth, who is the owner of International Exotic Animal Sanctuary in Boyd, Texas. Welcome to the show, Mr. Gibreth.
Welcome to y'all. I hope everything's going great today up there.
Oh, everything's great. Probably not as good of weather as there is in Texas, but...
Well, it's raining right now.
Well, then we're in about the same position, because that's how it is here in Michigan. So, we appreciate your coming on the show. Mr. Gibreth, can you explain to our listeners exactly what your sanctuary is and what kind of animals you've got there?
We're a permanent home for abused and abandoned and orphaned animals, exotic animals from all across the United States. We've got lions, tigers, leopards, bears, cougars, bobcats, anything that people shouldn't have as pets, but they did, and then they found out they couldn't have them.
I'm sure that's a lesson that everybody tends to learn when they try to get into that. There's not too many exceptions, I'll bet.
Very, very, very few, if any.
Yep. Now, I guess before we get into that, we'd sure like to hear a little bit more about you and how you came about this, how involved you are there, and how did you manage to – have you always had a love for these animals? And give us a little more about your personal history.
I've always loved animals, and my title here, I'm the executive director. We're a large nonprofit for the International Exotic Animal Sanctuary. I've been working with animals all my life. As a matter of fact, my major in college was animal science, and grew up on a farm, and always had animals, and have always worked with animals. Then I got an opportunity back in the 90s to work with these types of big animals and to give them a permanent home. We're the last leg that they got to stand on. If we can't take them, then they've got problems. Most of them have the possibility of being euthanized.
Sure.
We've got orphaned black bears that their mothers were killed, and we've got them all the way up into Alaska. Matter of fact, I flew up to Alaska about 3 months ago and picked up one that weighed 6 pounds. Mm-hmm. That was found out on a little island.
Interesting. And Mr. Gibreth, can you explain how do people get to you? I mean, how do the people who have these animals find you? How does that work?
Usually they don't find us. Most of the animals that we have here have been confiscated by the U.S. government, state game and fish departments, the SPCAs in local towns across the United States, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So most of the animals that we have all been seized by some type of legal entity.
And when you bring these guys in, there has to be some consideration of how you're going to financially pull this off and keep things operating. What is the main source of bringing in money for running this particular facility?
Well, money has always been the biggest problem, and especially with the economy the way it is right now.
Uh-huh.
It's the major thing.
Right.
So we do enormous amount of grant writing and having contests. It's like right now we've got a contest going to win $1,000 on our website for a video if people will vote for it. So we do numerous things. Generous individuals help us that have caring, loving hearts.
Uh-huh.
We have companies that also help donate, not only just money, but we have in-kind goods, which is always good. We've got Walmart right now that's donating all of the produce to help feed the bears.
Okay.
We've got a number of companies that donate bleach. We've got companies that donate lots of things that we use here. It's surprising of all the things that we use, from garden hoses all the way up to different types of meat for each animal.
And what's your facility look like? Does it sit on a lot of acreage? How much area do these cats need? Does it vary depending on the types of cats?
Well, right now the state and the federal government requires you to have a certain amount, and we exceed what they say usually 5 times, especially for the big tigers.
Right.
We've got 5-acre tracts for the bears, and we've got a 40-acre sanctuary here. So it's pretty good size.
Okay, and is there much where people can actually witness this, or is it isolated from the public?
No, we do education and conservation tours to help educate the public about the plight of these animals and also to have them quit purchasing these animals.
Right.
And show them where they have to go. And we do guided tours on Saturdays and Sundays and through the week one time a day. We do also do schools to help educate the young children about these animals and where they came from and try to get a different beginning for the children nowadays that hopefully they won't be buying these animals as they get older.
And that's the underlying message. Anyone that comes in witnesses what you're doing and how you're doing it, I'm sure.
That's correct.
Mr. Gibberth, how much food do these animals go through? I mean, how much does a tiger and a lion and all these different animals eat? Can you give us some idea?
Right now, on a yearly basis, all of our cats are eating just a little over 100,000 pounds of beef a year. So my food bill just for beef, ground beef, is a little over $120,000 a year.
Wow.
Wow, that's an awful lot of steak.
Well, they're not getting steak. They're getting they get a special diet that is designed especially for exotic animals in captivity. It's called Triple T. Comes out of Burlington, Colorado.
And do you have much expense annually in veterinarian care?
Oh, yes. Our vet bills run about $50,000 to $60,000 a year. And that's medication, because you have to remember, a lot of these animals are, once they're seized, they belong to people that didn't have any idea how to care for them.
Right.
And so
right. They
come here and they've got problems when they get here. And what we do is try to give them the best quality of life that they can have in a captive situation.
What's the temperament coming in is probably questionable. What's the temperament of most of the animals that have been there, let's say, maybe for a few years?
Very good. We don't do anything that agitates any of the animals, period. Uh-huh. If it agitates them, we move and go on and do something else.
Okay.
So most of the cats, it's interesting to watch them because they come in here hating people because they've been usually abused or abandoned or something. Mm-hmm. And after a few years, they forgive and they're trusting. And as long as you don't invade it, their space, they're happy. Matter of fact, a lot of them enjoy you sitting down next to their enclosures and just being there with them. So we have a program that we call emotional behavior that we work with all of the animals, and that's not going in the enclosure now. That's working from outside.
Right.
And each animal is an individual themselves, so each one of them has their own experience of what we have to do for them.
Right, right. And how many people are on staff?
We've got 3.
Wow.
Well, you have to remember we also have a intern program with 8 college students that have graduated from college. We got one of the finest intern programs in the country here.
That's fantastic.
Got young people working in major zoos and animal-related facilities all across the United States, from the East Coast to the West Coast.
They're always they're very keen to learn, keen to grow, keen to experience exactly what you're going through, aren't they?
That's true. Yes.
Now we've heard, you know, just from the public listening here, there was the very tragic thing that happened with the Siegfried and Roy situation. Should tigers be in that type of environment from your perspective, or is that a mute conversation?
That, you know, it depends on what you have to look at the underlying deal there. These animals that these guys had have the best life in captivity that you can imagine.
Uh-huh.
Now, should any person that doesn't have any type of experience have them? No.
And there's going to be risks, right?
Anytime that you engage with a tiger or a lion, there's going to be a risk.
Okay.
You have to remember, these big cats have every emotion that we have, the same as you and I, except one thing. They have no inhibition about killing you.
Right. Well, and that's the lesson, is that people need to know what's a pet and what should be left to the experts. And that's what hopefully they'll do. Mr. Gibber, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. And if someone would like to look us up, it's bigcat.org is our website. Love to have
That's easy.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You as well. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to have a conversation with the life sciences officer from the Detroit Zoo. Right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.